Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
It's time to eat. I've titled the message, It's Time to Eat. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 16 for those of you that are going to look in your Bible on your smartphone or on your church app. If you're going to go to the Bible there, wherever you're finding it, it's going to be in Exodus chapter 16 is where we're going to start. It's time to eat. There's a few things that we can learn from this passage today from the Israelites. Starting in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. Let me know when you have it, but before you do, today I just want to thank Pastor Wes for allowing me the honor to speak and to do this. If you would give it up for your pastor, Pastor Wes, the amazing pastor that we have, him and his family serve. We're going on 13 years. Am I saying the right? This December, 13 years. Guys, that's amazing. That's awesome. So we honor you, Pastor Wes. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of speaking. The Bible talks about giving honor where honor is due. So keep that in front of you. Here we are in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. How many of you think that sounds like a good deal? But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Let us pray. Father God, today, Lord, I pray that these would not be merely words that I put in on a text, but Lord, that you've spoken these words into my heart, Lord, that I would communicate them as you've spoke them. And Lord, I would not deviate from what you have spoken today. Lord, speak in your name we pray. Amen. As we see here, the first thing in this scripture, and we're going to go through multiple other scriptures on down from here, but I wanted to start out with just that portion. Because in that portion, you see the Israelites' desire. Every one of us in this room, we have desires, correct? Okay, there's a few of you that are on board. We have desires. And you say, okay, Pastor Chris, why are you starting out there? Why are desires important? Most of you in this room, you know why desires are important. Because desires will determine your direction that you head. Every desire that you have will drive you into a direction that you're going to go. And so here we see the Israelites, they had a desire. It's time to eat. They wanted to eat like they used to eat. But if you think about how they used to eat with the pots and the meat and all the food to their contentment, there was another small factor about that. Slaves. I heard some people whispering it. But they were not free. But yet in their mind, they wanted to go back to where they were. That's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place when God has begun to lead you out of something that you want to go back to something. So always allow your desires to be tampered by the word of God. Here we see that they were grumbling and complaining against Moses and Aaron. Here's the thing. They weren't really complaining and grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They were grumbling and complaining against God. So here's the thing that we need to understand, that our desires are so important. If we grumble with what we don't have, we will fail to see what we do. Because every one of us in this room, if we really want to be honest, we're blessed. Now, I'm not saying that we're not going through things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're not struggling. I'm not saying that we don't have issues and circumstances that we're facing. But here's what happens. They began to look back instead of looking forward to where God was taking them because they didn't have the whole picture. The size of your success is measured by the strength of your desire, Robert says. So in there he says the strength or the size of your success is measured by your desire. So what is your desire? Your desire determines that direction and that motivation that you have. A couple weeks ago with the youth, I was talking, and we're talking in this series right now called Shake It Off. And what I said to them, I think it was 2 weeks ago, is this. If your past doesn't teach you in the present, you need to shake it off. Because your past will creep into your present and hinder your future. So the fact of the matter is, if we allow our past to keep coming back, it's going to hinder our future. And we can't allow that to happen. They ate all the food they wanted. And then they were grumbling because they were in a different state. Some of you, you may be in that state where you felt like you had other provisions and blessings from God, but now you're in that holding pattern or that desert moment. Like, they spent how many years? Trivia? 40 years. How many of you have been at the same thing for 40 years? Maybe not. Maybe. But how many of you have ever been on a plane during a holding pattern? Actually, I believe I was speaking with Julian. We were talking a couple weeks ago in the office. You were talking about a holding pattern. And a holding pattern on an airplane can get kind of annoying or old, especially if you're in the air. And the holding pattern, they just keep circling the airport because they don't have clearance to land. The story that he was telling us, and I don't want to take your thunder because I don't think you're going to tell the story, are you? Okay, good. It's not in my notes, so I'm deviating. And so what happened was they were circling the airport so long, they were running low on fuel, so they had to go to another airport quickly and land. Guys, here's the thing. God will not let you run out of fuel. He will always maintain a place that you can land safely. It may not have been the original plan, but it is a plan that God has for you. So what is your plan? It may not be what his plan is, but are you wanting your plan or his? That's the question. What is your desire? It's been said that the grass is always greener on the other side, right? But the only reason it's greener on the other side is because that's AstroTurf. It's fake. It's fake. It's AstroTurf. They don't know struggle. I've also heard it explained this way. We judge our been through everyone else's highlight reel. You ever see on Facebook, a lot of the teenagers, they don't use Facebook anymore, but beyond that, the older people, yeah, we use Facebook. And so we have everyone's highlight reel. They're posting everything that's good, right? You don't see their been through. And you're judging your moment of man, I don't know God's ever going to come through. And you're judging that through their success and their moments they're posting. And God's saying, that's not the whole picture. That's not the whole thing. So we need to understand. Stephen Covey says this, seek first to understand, then to be understood. If we seek to be understood first, we miss connecting with people. But if we seek to understand, we seek to understand God's word imparted to us each day. Here, the Israelites didn't even know what manna was at this point when they were grumbling. But then God began to come along and spoke to Moses and said, they're going to have manna. And you say, manna, okay, what is that? That's exactly what it says. It says, what is it? Vine's expository dictionary says, it's spiritual provision provided for the Israelites for their wilderness journey. It's a supernatural provision. It was supernatural. It was something that no one could explain. Here's the thing for you and for me. There are going to be times that God is going to put manna in your life that no one can explain. There are times he's going to put provisions in your life that no one can explain. There are going to be times that he's going to just rain down from the heavens things that you can't explain. But how many of you as a kid or to your kids have put something in front of them and they're like, what is it? And you're like, just eat it. Anyone? Okay, I'm just making sure it's not bad parenting, you know. I heard a pastor say, you guys are cheaper than counseling, so that's not original for me. I heard some other pastor say that. But the thing is, we put it in front of our kids, we're like, just eat it. It'll be okay, it's nourishment. Sometimes God puts some nourishment in front of us that we don't know what it is, but it's for our own good. What about the nourishment that God has for us? What about realigning our desires so that the nourishment that comes, we will say, okay, God, what is this? Pastor West says it all the time. Every moment should be a learning experience. Every moment should be a teachable experience. Brilliant. That's what it should be. Are we allowing it to be that, or are we taking it and not allowing it to teach us? So what is it? It was their supernatural provision. Their desire was to be fed. You can't fault them completely, because as you look through the scripture, Jesus responded to their grumbling and complaining. I had a little trouble, if I'm honest with that, with you. I had a little trouble as I was studying, preparing for that Jesus responded to their grumbling and complaining. I'm just being honest. They grumbled, they complained, but yet God responded. Which makes me think that if you're open and honest with God, he's going to respond. If you do it in the right way. As we see, they went to their leaders and they grumbled and complained, and God blessed them. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 24, it says, he rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Think of that. Human beings ate the bread of angels. Eating something from heaven that wasn't meant for you. He sent them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from the heaven, and by his power, the south wind blew. How many of you have ever prayed for the heavens to be opened up over your life? What if it is God saying, get into my word, and the heavens will be opened? What if it's get into the manna, the fresh manna, each day, and it's going to be opened unto you? Here, next, after we see their desire, we see that the desire was there. If our desire is to honor God and to obey his promises, we will obey his instructions. So first we have, number one, desire. Number two, we have his instructions. His instructions he gave them were in verses 4-8. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. They are to go out each day and gather. It was a test. God laid it out as a test. The instructions were given. They were given to go out each day. My question for us in this room, are we going out each day into the Word of God? Because here's the thing. You and I can sit at the tables of Pastor West's messages, the Bible studies messages, singles groups, or married groups, whatever. We can sit at the buffet of those spiritual words and never grow because we never partake. We could sit there and never partake, so we never grow. The more you know, the more you grow, and then the more you go. Here's the thing. Evangelism will happen the more you know, the more you grow, because then you're just going to go. Because it's going to be in you. So here's the thing. Will you and I partake daily? Or will we be like they were in verse 20? It says that they took more than their days way. They took more than their days, and it became where it had maggots and rotted. Can you think of that? That just kind of disgusts me. Think of our title. It's time to eat, and then you think about maggots in it. I don't want to step over the line, but I'm wondering how much of us have some spoiled blessings or spoiled promises from God in our life because we've not kept them before God daily. What if there's some things that God spoke into your life that you've just put on the shelf, and God's saying, no, 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 pull that back out. Keep that fresh. Keep it in line with the Word of God. Today, what is it that God is saying? It says, and then they were told on the sixth day to save enough so that they kept the Sabbath. Church, are we taking of the manna Are we taking of the word of God daily? Or do we just partake on a Sunday? I'm challenged the same because here's the thing. I can't just take on the word of God to prepare a message for you or for the youth, because that's not what God wants me to do. But the thing is, we need to partake of it daily. In John chapter 6, verse 32, it says this. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I say to you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gave us the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven, and it gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Are you coming to him? Or do we just sit back and not go to him? In verse 35, it says, I am the bread of life. This is the first of the I am statements in John. Why is it the first? I don't know, but one of the commentaries I was reading says it shows that Jesus is the substance and the nourishment for our spiritual life. That's why it's the first. Because if you understand your nourishment, you understand where your help is coming from, everything else will line up. The other I am statements there listed is, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the gate in John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the good shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the resurrection and the life, John chapter 11, verse 24. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John chapter 14, verse 6. And I am the true vine, John chapter 15. I am. Jesus is wanting this to be a personal connection. When we don't have it as a personal connection, we've missed what Scripture is all about. In this place, how many of you have not felt hungry, you felt like you can't eat? What do you usually do if you have a child or you just can't eat? You go to the doctor, right? Okay, no one goes to the doctor? Like if you can't eat for a long period of time, you struggle to understand what's going on, and there's things going on, you just don't feel yourself. It's not natural to not have a hunger in you. In the spiritual realm, it's not natural to not have a hunger in you, but it's what are you hungry for? Because here's the thing. When you go to the doctors, or you could go to WebMD or Google or Siri or whatever your choice is to give you a diagnosis, the reality is those things aren't going to be as legit as going to the doctor, correct? Anybody correct? Okay, good. We're good. And so here's the thing. When you don't have a hunger, you don't have those desirings to eat, you go and see what's wrong. Church, if there's not a hunger for God's word, I'm going to challenge you. Find out what's wrong. Find out what's missing. Find out what has got you off from reading God's word for yourself. It is the spiritual food for your life. The word of God is to feed you. My question for you what is it that feeds your spirit? Is it the word of God or the words of others? Because many of us in this place, we allow the words of others to feed our spirit, and then it causes us to act in ways that we act. But God wants us to understand that his word is the power and it's the life. John Owen says this, if the word does not dwell with power in us, it will not pass with power from us. If the word of God is not in you with power, it's never going to pass with power from you. We can't expect these lights to come on if they're not plugged in. It's simple truth, but if you're not plugged into the Word of God, like Pastor spoke a few series back about the vine, if you're not plugged in to the true vine, you don't have that power. Too many times we treat the Word of God as a visitation and not a habitation. What are you treating the Word of God like? Are you habitating in it? Are you staying there in His presence? Are you continually there? And then I love this scripture. It's in 2 Timothy 1:14. It says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You only need to guard stuff that has value. How many of you locked your cars? Ushers, take notes. I'm just kidding. But the thing is, guys, you only lock something if it has value. You have an alarm system on your house if you want to guard something. Here's the thing. The only reason why you need to guard the Word of God, the good deposit in you, because it has value and power and strength to overcome anything that you're facing. But will you guard it? If we don't guard it, someone's going to try to take it. The thing that we need to understand is that if your life is under attack, there must be value that someone's trying to take from you. If your life's under attack, there must be value there that someone's trying to take. So guard it. We don't lock up things with no value. Another thing that I want you to know is your value doesn't decrease because someone's inability to see your worth. Because God placed the worth in you, not that person that's saying it or doing it, but God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, says, whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To the one who is victorious, say victorious. Say victorious. That was better. I will give him some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name on it, known only to the one who receives it. Today I have a white stone here, and I had one for every one of you, but I decided not to give it to you as you were coming in because they were a little messy, but the reason why they were a little messy is because I feel like God's saying sometimes we receive the new name, we receive the forgiveness, we receive the not guilty, and if it's so clean, we put it away and we forget about it. But it gets on your hands and it has a little residue because God wants His forgiveness and His love and His not guilty to permeate all of you. And so on the table as you leave, there's white stones for everyone so that you can remember. But also another cool thing to remember about this white stone is in that day, this was used for voting. But casting a not guilty ballot. Jesus is casting a not guilty ballot to you and for you if you name the name. So here's the thing. He's going to put a new name on it. Not only does He put a new name on it, he then now gives you His inheritance. The thing that we need to understand, and it's amazing that we understand it, that as the Israelites, they have the instruction. But then as they begin to look off into the desert, they begin to see the manna fall from heaven. And as they saw the manna fall from heaven, then comes the test. Every one of us have probably been through tests, and we go through tests. But here's the thing. The test, if you remember the instruction, it was to go out each day and to pull it in and not take more than what that day was for and not to keep it beyond then. And so if they pass that test, when we see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, it says that the white stone and the hidden manna would be given to us. What if you and I stopped viewing the test as a mean to fail us, but a way to prepare us? What if we stopped looking at every test and thing that we go through and that we face as a mean to fail us, but a way that God's preparing us for more? In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, it says, and they overcame by him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Guys, here's the thing. We are called to freedom, but we don't always walk in it. And you know why we don't walk in it? Because sometimes it's harder and it takes more discipline than to walk in what God has called us to walk in. And it's easier to return to our ways. It's easier to turn back to those things. It reminds me of, many of you probably have heard of those that they get out of jail, they get out of some kind of bondage situation, things like that, but they keep returning back because that's what they know. Guys, here's the thing. God wants you to have a new mind. God wants to create a new thing. Sometimes we keep returning to the bondage of our sins because it requires less discipline. Church, let's not keep returning to our sin because it requires less discipline. Let's be disciplined. The Israelites kept wanting to return back to Pharaoh because they felt like they, in some ways, had more because they were nearsighted. They were focused on one thing and one thing only, that desire in the moment. It reminds me of us doing foster care and things like that with some of the kids that would come in. They would eat until you had to make them stop, or they would hide food in ways. You hear about that happening. It's because they didn't know when the next meal and the next thing was coming. Here in the Israelites, so some ways, I don't totally blame them. So I took a different approach to it as saying, yes, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to disobey God here, but I understand they had to be retrained, retaught. What if you need to be retrained and retaught that God's going to provide? What if you need to look back to a journal or a notebook where you saw, God is my help, God provided, God let me out of this, God got me through this? What if that is the moment that you need to return to instead of returning to that thing that is going to keep you in bondage? A couple weeks ago, I shared with the students in One Life about test and pretest, and I thought they were going to cut my head off because none of them liked the idea of a pretest. I am one that likes the idea of a pretest. Anyone else weird like me? Okay. Because if I can get a pretest, I can get a little snippet of what this professor, what this teacher is thinking, right? And so then you begin to learn how to study, how to know those things. What if the thing that you're going through is just a pretest to set you up for a test that God has you to succeed at? And he just wants to prepare you for something bigger, something greater. And you say, oh no, I can't take something bigger than what I'm going through right now. But if you had the right perspective, maybe you could. If you had the right understanding of Scripture, maybe you could. We need to value the pretest because it might be setting us up for the real test. Because the reality is every test will come back around. I don't care who you are. If you say to the teacher, hey, I need an extension or I'll be gone and you go on vacation, guess what? You're still going to take that test, right? I have a feeling it still happens in the spiritual realm the same. I have a feeling that if there is a test that is marked out for you and marked out for your life, it's still going to come. It's just, when are you going to be ready for it? So are you going to be ready for it? In Exodus chapter 16, verse 20, I love this passage because it kind of makes me sick. It says, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. It began to have maggots. You know why they thought they could keep it? Probably because they kept some of the food before and it never spoiled. Probably because they kept some before and it never got maggots. But there was something about this that was so fresh. Haven't you ever bought something that was really, really fresh? It spoils quicker, doesn't it? Ever buy fresh salsa, make homemade salsa? That stuff just spoils so quick. Because there's something about the freshness. The fresh word. You and I need to have the fresh word in our lives. Do not allow the manna of God to spoil in our lives. And lastly,
We have the provision and the blessing. We see that the Israelites, their grumbling and complaining was heard. God heard it, and he poured out manna. But their response even to that was, what is it? Sometimes your provision and blessing will show up in unexpected ways. Sometimes the things that you and I will receive that will be our help will come in an unexpected way. These events showed a closeness and a close relationship between God's daily provision and his ongoing instruction. We see in the Israelites' life that this was a provision from God, but also a continual of instruction. He gave them instruction. So today, my challenge for you, don't only hear the instructions once. Apply it to your lives. Feel close to God, move close to God, and then see his provision. Once you see his provision, say, okay, God, what is your instruction? And then go after it. Don't allow the word of God to only be something that you visit and you get your answer and then you leave it. The Life and the Spirit commentary notes say this: God is calling us to overcome sin and to not tolerate immorality in the world. If we fail to overcome these areas, we choose to step out of the favor, the presence, and the Spirit's power in our life. Those are strong words, and they're not mine. They were written a while ago. I'm going to repeat it. This: God is calling us to overcome the sin and to not tolerate immorality in the world. If we fail to overcome these areas, we choose to step out, so it's a choice, to step out of the favor, the presence, and the Spirit's power in our life. How many of you say, I would like to have the Spirit's power in my life? You need to have the Word of God in your life. You want the Spirit's power in your life? Have the Word of God in your life. This white stone signifies that there is power, there is a no guilty, there is a verdict that has been put down. You are not guilty by his standards. So walk in the freedom that you've been given. The hidden manna, as we talk about in Revelation, was different than the manna that the Israelites experienced. The hidden manna, it was talking about us partaking of Christ's nature. Are you partaking of the hidden manna? Are you partaking of something that God has given you after you've had the victory? Are we feeding on the Word of God? This rock, as I said, gives us a new name, a new nature, and full inheritance. So maybe you find yourself struggling with where your desire is or where your instruction is of obeying God. Or maybe you're right smack in the middle of a test. Or maybe you've just had the greatest provision or blessing from God. Wherever you find yourself, I can't help but tell you, do not walk away from the Word of God. Do not turn your back on it. All this that we see the Israelites went through, all of this reveals God who cares for us and is grounded in his desire for us to know him and walk with him. Everything that I've said is about that. I'm going to ask Dustin to go ahead and come. But if we do not realize that it's with the Word of God that we get through the Scriptures, when you lift him up, he's going to pick you up. Doesn't matter what you've been through. Everything that we've talked about reminds me of the one last story, and this is my closing. There was this young boy, and he was reaching manhood in this tribe. In this tribe, their tradition was a series of, so to speak, survival things. From archery, to building a fire, to hunting, to all kinds of things. This young boy, not yet to be a young man, accomplished all those things. So these tribe leaders, the men, tribe leaders, led this young boy on his last endeavor. This last endeavor to prove his manhood or to bring him into manhood was taking him out deep into the woods. And they walked even deeper into the woods, and as they got out there, they looked at the young boy, all the tribe leaders, and said, "Hand us your clothes." He handed them the clothes, and they began to tie him to this tree. And they began to tell this young boy, "You are going to be standing here all night till morning. When you survive and when you're able to make it, you have now become a man. Do you want to continue to go through?" The young boy said, "Yes." They tie him to the tree. They begin to slip off into the distance. The sun goes down. Every leaf that rustled, every tree branch that cracked, this young boy tied to the tree that could not move was scared and terrified. But as the sun began to rise, this young boy was standing there. And the sun began to rise to where it began to come up his feet and up his body and up his body and up his body to where the sun was fully up. Then the boy began to see this shadow over top of him. And he begins to look up and he sees his father with his bow drawn, sitting there in the tree. Said, "Son, I had you covered all night. And today I want you to know, church, God is standing in that tree above whatever your situation you're facing and saying, I have you covered. I have your back. Nothing is going to get you. Nothing is going to damage you. And you are going to step out of this test victorious." He's standing up there saying, no. Nope, stay away. But it's just enough so that you know that there's a test. Because he doesn't reveal himself all at one time to you. He wants you to trust him.